Okay, so, now, for the moms and dads here, if you wanted to divide Ezekiel up into three sections, one would be the section where Ezekiel's warning about what's coming. That's chapters 1 through 24. Write that down, you guys. Remember how to study this Ezekiel thing even better. 1 through 24. And then chapter 25 to 32 talks about other nations are going to get clobbered. And then chapter 33 to 48, it's all about the fantastic future that Israel still has, but hasn't come true yet. It's still coming. Now, there's another phrase in here that's very important, and I didn't count how many times it is. It's a 90 times. Somebody did anyway. 90 times, he's called the Son of Man. How about that? Jesus Christ was the Son of Man and the Son of God, and Ezekiel's called the Son of Man. Wow. How that is. Well, let's see, here's something else. Remember I said that Ezekiel had to do some strange sermons? He had to do it like a lesson. One of them was he had to be silent for a real long time. Wow. How long can you be quiet? Don't you wish I had that sermon given to me sometime just to quit talking? And then the one time he had to lie on his side. Lay on his side for really a long time. You ever stayed in one position? Of course, kids can do that. We can't, or you can't. Can you do that yet? You're still young enough? Does it hurt when you lay in one position? Okay. You ever seen your parents get out of the car? That's because they can't sit still very long. Ezekiel had to lay in one position for a really long time. Why is that? Maybe we'll get time to learn that thing. Then he had to fix some food with cow dung. Ever been out in the fields? Well, you've helped your grandpa do that stuff out there. And God said, Ezekiel, you need to make this using that stuff. Well, yes. And as gross and bad as that sounds, there was a reason for that. God had a real reason to teach his people why that was. Maybe we'll get into that one. Then he had a wife. He loved his wife. The Bible said she was called to him the desire of thine eyes. That was a phrase that was used for his wife. She was his desire of his eyes. And God took her life and told Ezekiel, now you can't mourn. You can't be sad. You've got to just keep right on going. And he loved her greatly. Just took her away, and he had to just keep on going. Why is that? What kind of a lesson is behind those kind of things that the Ezekiel guy had to do? Then there's a couple places in here where Ezekiel's just taken away into some other place. Just, whoop, gone, someplace else. God comes, and the Spirit of God comes and takes him and takes him someplace else. Can you imagine such a thing? Now, do you remember around Christmas time there's a story about Scrooge and all this stuff? You ever heard that story? Okay, if you haven't heard it, then I won't tell you about it. Well, let's see. Okay. So, if Ezekiel is seeing real visions, and they're real visions, God takes him places and all these things are taking place, what do you suppose the devil's going to try to do? He's going to try to show some fake visions to people. So Ezekiel's got to come along and say, listen, you guys, that's not a real vision. Just like this morning. Scott, we'll pick on Scott. Scott was really doing good enough with the Lord that he noticed over Mr. Burt's shoulders that there weren't any creatures calling on him. See, and he would stand up in that chair and he would say, oh, men and women and children of Touche Baptist Church, there is no creatures crawling on Mr. Burt this morning. That was a false vision that this teacher was saying. It's not true. They're on Tim's shoulders. Because he would recognize that I gave a false vision, so you just tell people. So there were people back in Ezekiel's day saying that, hey, we saw something today, and it was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you get a bunch of people to follow them, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's not true. So Ezekiel has to deal with that. The poor guy. I mean, he's got to do these horribly hard, difficult physical lessons. He's got to tell people that's not a true vision, and he has to learn to deal with the real visions. I mean, listen, if there really were creatures crawling on Mr. Burt, spiritual creatures that you can't see, but I could, Do you think I'd be standing here and just like, well, it's no big deal. Oh, this boy, he's ugly, and that was a slimy one, and you know, teeth, and it'd be strange for me to see that. I would be a little shook myself. The ones I saw on his shoulders yesterday were like animal ones. They all had antlers and things all over this, and he never could see them. Never knew when to stop the truck or anything. We saw a couple run up the hill. The visions just disappeared. I'm not even sure Terry was real. Terry might have been a vision that we had. It's hard to say. But see, we don't get those things today. We just don't get them today. Now, if you were reading the newspaper, you don't read the newspaper, do you? Janet, you guys get the newspaper? Okay. Caitlin, you ever? You ever watch religious news? Probably not. There are people today, lots of people today, that say they see these visions. They really do. I mean, they really do. And I bet you sometime in your life you're going to meet somebody that says, well, you know, the other day I just had a vision. It's probably going to be a relative, too. They just seem to be that way. Oh, I saw a vision the other day and they told me to come and see you. And that's how people think. And that's not, God doesn't operate that way. Not today. Not at all. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1 this morning. This is probably still hard stuff for kids. But if you sit down with them and you read slowly and you talk about the verse and help them picture some of this stuff, I just think it would really be quite spectacular. Now, these things that are in Ezekiel, there's two ways you could read Ezekiel or learn about Ezekiel. One is right and one is wrong. Does that make sense? You can go out and you can buy a bunch of books, a bunch of workbooks and videos and CDs and find out what somebody else teaches you about Ezekiel, because it is all about future stuff. The last part of Ezekiel is all about the future. And do you really want to know what the future is? You know, it's pretty exciting, but everybody's got their own little two cents, as we say, their little opinion of what that Bible really means. So my encouragement to you folks is, especially to your kids, just read Ezekiel the way God wrote it. And just save all sorts of money. And if something perks an interest to you, well, good. Because this hasn't happened yet. And there's going to be some people out there that say, listen, if you give me $25, I'll tell you what God showed me about the book of Ezekiel. And you know what people do? They send them $25. And they send them back a cassette that doesn't even say what the Bible says about Ezekiel. So you might as well just read the free one. But that's enough to learn right there. For example, look at chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain. What's that? That's the rainbow. You ever seen a rainbow? Zach, you ever seen a rainbow? A big bowl up there? Pretty? Okay. I want to make sure they're not sheltered, that you get to see things like that. As the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This, whatever they saw here, it was just like the bowl. It was bright. You can see it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, you'll see in books that they say this is the vision of God. And it's just not what it says. It says the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. You ever fallen on your face? I mean, I know you fall down, but have you ever fallen on your face? That's when your face, that's as low as you can get. You're just digging into that ground. If you saw something like we're going to read here in a minute, when Ezekiel saw it, he was down, and his face was, he was digging deep. That was an amazing thing for him to see this thing. And this is the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Wow. You ever read this, Olivia? You ever read this? Oh, and Danica, have you read this? Ezekiel chapter 1? Oh, Caitlin? Oh, boy, this is exciting. Are you ready? Now, there's going to be a couple verses that, you know, tells when it took place, and I know you don't care about that, but it has to be there. Here you go. You ready for this? This is what Ezekiel saw. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God.
Wow.
Okay? In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Now, what is with all this about when it was? When you do your schoolwork, don't you have to put the date on there? Do you have to do that? You put your name and you put your date. Danica, do you have to do that? Put your name and the date today is. It's very important to know when this stuff takes place. That way, when you're in 20 years, you'll pull out all your schoolwork and you'll look at this. And look at this. I drew this beautiful picture back in the year 2007. And you'll know when that took place. So that's all this is here. And Ezekiel's kind of dating when all this stuff takes place. Verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Okay, so God has shown up here, and Ezekiel's going to see something that he's never seen before. And by the way, nobody else sees it. Because it says, came expressly unto Ezekiel. That means only Ezekiel saw this thing. And now, don't go home tonight and say that you saw a flying saucer and nobody else saw it but you. But that's what this is like. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. That's what he saw. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Wow. Get this whirlwind, fire, bright, and now there's four creatures that look like a man. Now, how would you be doing so far? You probably already hit the ground, right? And every one had four faces. Every one had four faces. And every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. What's a straight foot? What isn't my foot straight? Aren't your feet straight? Here's your leg and here's your foot. There's your straight foot. Wouldn't you think that's what that... I figure that's what that would mean. Aren't you glad you're not straight-footed? It'd be like tippy-toe in your whole life. Ballerina. Boy, Sam, you'd be terrible in ballerina. Tippy-toe everywhere you would go. But that's what they had. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. You ever seen a calf's foot? A calf is a cow, right? Baby cow thing? Or, you know, one of those cattle or whatever. Okay? So the sole of the feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Those are some fancy feet. Now, have you pictured this already in your little picture mind? Okay. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. Remember, on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. It's quite a thing. This is what Ezekiel saw. And the heavens opened, and God showed. This is amazing stuff. As for the likeness of their faces, one looked like Mr. Burt, one looked like Scott, one looked like Mr. White Cotton, one looked like Mr. Kench. Wouldn't that be something? No, it's not what it was. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, can you picture this? I mean, the four faces and lion and eagle and... Boy, that is some weird-looking thing. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. The Spirit wanted them to go, that's where he would go, without messing around. And as for the, verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Like campfire nights, you see the coals down there burning? And like the appearance of lamps. Lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth what? Lightning. I'd be on the ground by now. I don't know how Ezekiel saw this with his face on the ground, but. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Look at chapter 3, I had a note here. Look at chapter 3, verse 13, real quickly. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. Whoa, what's this about wheels? Let's go back. Chapter 1, verse 15. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. You know what a wheel is, right? Like on a car, the wheel. You know. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Wow. Kind of flying saucerish. A wheel inside a wheel. Kind of a thing, you know. This is what Ezekiel saw. This is in your Bible. This is real. This is what he saw. Verse 17. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Four eyes. Some of us know what that means. We had permanent damage from our childhood. People kept calling us four eyes. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures are lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Well, we've always known that. Got to have the right kind of wheels. Right? When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Said it again there. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. Now, if we could take a picture of your mind right now, how are you picturing this? Ooh, Caitlin, look at that picture. Can put it on the screen up here. This is, we're trying to picture this thing. This is pretty wild. It's real, though. 23? Is that where we are? And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood, and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Oh, here we go. and the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. They're seeing some, he's going to see somebody now. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And there's, here's our last verse. As the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now we can say this was God, because we know that this was taking place, but it says the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and that's how we have to call this. That's what it says. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. What do you think chapter 2 is going to be about? What it is that he spake. What did he say to Ezekiel? And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. You ever been in so much trouble, Danica, that your grandpa's talking to you, and you got your head down because you can't look him in the eyes, or your dad or mom or something? You ever done that? And he says, young lady, look at me. Ooh. That's rough, isn't it? I'd rather put my head down and go ahead and yell at me, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa. Look at me. Do I have to? You know, and they look at you. You listen better when you're looking and you're paying attention. She says the same thing. Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Have you ever had to stand upon your feet? Maybe this is why your kids aren't getting what you want yet. When your dad comes in, quick, go for the feet. Get on your knees and grab his ankles. And say, please, please, please. You know what he's going to say to you? Stand upon your feet. Come on, let's stand up. That's what God is telling Ezekiel. And I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. That's very interesting there, kids, because in order for Ezekiel to hear, he had to have the Spirit in him. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. When a person gets saved today, we have the Spirit in us. And it seems to me that would teach us the same thing. That this is why some people don't understand what God says, because they don't have the Spirit in them. Just a thought. Okay. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. That's what we have to say. Go to these rebellious people and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God. Verse 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Don't let it bother you, Ezekiel. They're not going to listen to what you have to say, but don't let it bother you. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Now what, all of a sudden, he's telling Ezekiel to tell these people certain things. And then he all of a sudden says to Ezekiel, open your mouth and eat what I give thee. Well, how does that happen? What does he mean there? Here, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to tell all these people. Now open your mouth and eat what I give you. What's he going to give him? He's going to give him words to eat. You mean they had alphabet soup way back in those days? No, this is God likens us to eating what it is he has to feed us, and that we will grow properly or not grow, depending upon how we eat his words. Isn't that strange, how we eat? Look what he says in verse 9. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. Now, right there, I'm just, oh man, listen, I just got done looking at this vision, the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Then here's this voice coming out of there. Remember, he sees kind of the person up there. And then he tells him to open your mouth and eat that I give thee. And then here comes this hand. Just this hand comes down, and here's God's hand just, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. A roll of a book. This isn't a roll of a book, is it? This is a squared up book. A roll. Well, I guess you get this one. Then he opened it up and he reads this roll. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Like it was not good stuff to read. Lamentations, mourning, sad, and woe is, boy, some bad things are going to happen here. We got to keep reading a few more verses in chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak into the house of Israel. What? This roll, this book, he's to eat that. Look what he does. What do you think he does, Olivia? Danica, what do you think he does? He eats it. I mean, if God told you to eat something, wouldn't you eat it? Well, maybe. But it's God. I know it's God. Don't you trust God? Yeah, I trust God. Why don't you want to eat that? Well, I'm not hungry right now. I'm just not hungry. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've lost 10 pounds because I haven't been hungry for like 2 weeks. Wow, isn't that exciting? Best diet in the world. But then they go to raise twice, and it's all coming back faster than you can imagine. But here he is. He's told to eat these. You're right. He does eat them. Verse 2. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. So he ate it. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Wow, tastes good. Sweet. You know, sweet stuff like strawberries and, don't forget that, sugar. Just sweet stuff, you know. Oh. He enjoyed it. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Where is he getting these words? He ate the book. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, here you got school today. You get up in the morning and you eat your books. Cut them up into little slices and put sugar on them. Eat all this stuff. Whatever's in that book, you learn. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, I would be one fat kid. I would just be eating books and books. Go to the library. All that stuff. I'd know so much. Okay, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. It's not that they don't know what you're talking about. They know this stuff. This is, you know, you're speaking in English. It's not like you're going to Japan or something. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand, surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up. See, there it is. And the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. He really didn't want to do this, though, in bitterness. So he was supposed to go tell these people what he had eaten in this book, in these words that God told him to do that. That was the mission that Ezekiel had. Go to my people are not going to hear you, but go to them anyway and tell them and show them these things, and they'll know that they heard from God. And they will also know that Ezekiel is a prophet of God. They'll know that. And see, you don't need to think, whoa, this pastor is a prophet of God. That's not what it is at all. But we do need to know that this is the Word of God. And we read how God, you know, showed himself as such to Ezekiel. And it's beyond our brain picture skills what he looks like and what takes place. But boy, this is some wild stuff. And the parents, here's your chance. I mean, there's some of this stuff that you can sit down. You're not going to scare the kids. I mean, they can learn this stuff. This is exciting. And try to show it to them one verse at a time, or look up a word, try to talk about what that word would mean, if that's a hard word or something, and see if we can't get them to picture some of the stuff that's taking place. This is real. This is real stuff. So we will talk more about Ezekiel next week. Yeah. Wow, he's quite a guy. Yep, we'll just keep going. I recommend Ezekiel 1, 2, and 3 this week, and just make Ezekiel come alive for your kids. Okay, we'll see you upstairs in a couple minutes.